Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If something has really changed in your heart and in your life, it's going to manifest itself. You're not going to be perfect overnight, but something is going to change. And if there has never been any change in your life, then there may not have ever been any change in your heart. And you need to stop and say, am I just some religious person that really has never connected with God in any way?
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Fish Sticks. And I'd like to read a little story before we get into this. This is a guy recounting this. He says, I was sitting at a stoplight this morning. The lady in front of me was going through papers on the seat of her car, and when the light changed to green and she did not obey the command, a green light is a commandment, not a suggestion. When the light turned to red and she had still not moved, I began with my windows up, he says, screaming epithets and beating on my steering wheel. Everybody's got the picture. You're sitting there at a stoplight, the person in front of you, the light changes, and they don't move, and it goes red, and this guy flips out. My expressions of distress were interrupted by a policeman, gun drawn, tapping on my window. Against my protestations of, you can't arrest me for hollering in my car, he ordered me into the back seat of his. After about 2 hours in a holding cell, the arresting officer advised me I was free to go. I said, I knew you couldn't arrest me for what I was yelling in my own car. You haven't heard the last of this. The officer replied, I didn't arrest you for shouting in your car. I was directly behind you at the light. I saw you screaming and beating your steering wheel, and I said to myself, what a jerk, but there's nothing I can do to him for throwing a fit in his own car. Then I noticed the cross hanging from your rearview mirror, the bright yellow Choose Life license tag, the Jesus is coming soon bumper sticker, and the fish symbol, and I thought you must have stolen the car. Now, one of the things that drives people crazy, at least that I talk to, one of the number one answers I get, people talking about Christianity, becoming a Christian, going to church, maybe the number one question is, what about all the people in, and they name some place on the planet, who have never heard, okay? There's one of the number one questions. Another one almost right behind it is, it's the hypocrites. It's all the hypocrites. Too many hypocrites in the church. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be with hypocrites. So to hell with me, if that's what it is, fine. I'll go to hell to not be with hypocrites. There'll be a few down there, so you won't be as lonely as you think. Now, are there hypocrites? Absolutely. And if you want to read about hypocrisy, read the Bible. If anybody blasts hypocrites, it's the scripture. And it's Jesus himself walking the planet. He took shots, took them out. And we're going to look at some of that today. Let me read you a definition. You know, we assume we know what a hypocrite is. The word comes from drama, basically, in the Greek times, where a mask would be held up when they would act out different parts. An actor would grab a mask, a handled mask, put it in front of his face, and say the lines behind that mask, hypocrite. And that's what we are when we put a mask on and say a bunch of lines, but it's not really who we are. But here's a straight-up definition. A person who pretends to have virtues, moral or religious beliefs, principles, etc., that he or she does not actually possess, especially a person whose actions belie stated beliefs. The second part of the definition is a person who feigns some desirable or publicly approved attitude, especially one whose private life, opinions, and statements belie his or her public statements. Now, the problem with hypocrisy is it's not limited to the church. And we blast senators who tap their feet under, you know, bathroom stalls in a airport, whether anything happened or not. Now, we want to just unload on that guy. Was it a religious thing? No, I'm not gay, or whatever he was doing or not doing. But we love to take a shot at somebody who doesn't stand up to what they believe. But how many times, forget being a Christian, just in life where you get in a peer pressure situation and everybody starts talking about something and you just pile in just to be cool, you're the hypocrite. Instead of saying, I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. You're afraid you'll be rejected or somebody will say something mean and we don't want to feel bad. So it's not just Christians being hypocrites. We are all capable of this. But somehow Christians get attacked pretty hard for this category. A guy named Ambrose Bierce said this, hypocrisy, here's how he defined it, prejudice with a halo. I'll let you think about that. And Francis Bacon said, great hypocrites are the real atheists. Now turn to Matthew chapter 15. Let me give you some examples of this, and we may not end up where you think we're going to end up today, but we'll start here in Matthew 15. Now, if you are not a Christian, you don't believe anything spiritual, and you have it out for religious people who are hypocrites, you're in really good company. Because Jesus himself could not stand religious people who said one thing and did another. And you'll see here pretty quick. Matthew 15, let's start with verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let them be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, now Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah saying he was talking about you right here, right now, today. This is what he quotes out of Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now that's Old Testament. That's what was going on back then. It hasn't changed. It's still going on. There have always been, always will be people who say whatever is the right thing to say, but what are they really doing? They honor with their lips, but their heart is far from God, and in vain they worship me. Now I've been there before, in church, go to church, stand there, I am saying all the words, reading all the scriptures, singing all the hymns, worshiping. You know why some of you hate to sing? Because you grew up singing and there was no worship involved with it. If you ever figure out the difference in just singing songs and getting it over with and really worshiping God from your heart, you won't miss it. You won't get enough of it. It's like going to a concert. You scream and holler for them to come back out. That's how church ought to be. An encore. So their hearts are way far away. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And what really drives people crazy is that we start making up stuff that's not even the Bible, and they say, you've got to do all this stuff. You know what? It's hard enough to do the stuff in the book without adding on all this other junk. I'm having trouble with just this. And these scribes and Pharisees were not just pushing the scriptures and not doing it. They were adding on all kind of tradition stuff. You got to do this, you got to do this. Nobody could keep up with it. And the people hated them because they were saying to do it, but they knew they weren't doing it. Now, here's what I say to you if you hate hypocrites. Don't throw Christianity out just because there are some hypocrites. Become a Christian and show us how to do it. If you're an expert on what doesn't work, then just become a Christian and say, okay, I'm going to show the world what this really should look like because I've had so many terrible examples of what it shouldn't. See, being critical of hypocrites when you're not a Christian is a whole lot easier than being a Christian and trying not to be a hypocrite. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33. I promise you, if you got the whole Bible, unless it's one of those discount Bibles that's got stuff missing, Ezekiel's probably going to be in there. There aren't any discount Bibles, and I pray there aren't. Wouldn't that be something to sell? Cheap Bible full of errors. Ezekiel chapter 33, it's in the Old Testament. While you're looking, let me just start reading it. Verse 30. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love. And I love the way the King James puts this. They show much love. What's up, Pastor? You know, how you doing? Good to see you. We love you. Appreciate you. They show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Saying one thing, but really, when we get out of here, we're going to go back to doing whatever it is we were doing because that's what really matters. You can say all you want to say. We're going to live. We're going to do whatever we want to do. Go to Matthew 23. And I'm probably not going to read this entire deal, but if you want some juice to throw on the hypocrites, just read this whole chapter 23. Because, man, Jesus unloads on them over and over different things that are going on. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore," now this is one of the most profound things, and I know you're not going to like this, but it's kind of like being a parent. If I'm saying this to children today about what your parents say and what they don't do, look at what Jesus says. "Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe," and he's talking about these scribes and Pharisees, "whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not do." Now, here's the tricky thing. Even if a hypocrite, a complete just disaster of a person, says something that is true, the truth is the truth no matter who says it. And what is so wild is you get some of these crazy, and I go hard at the TV evangelists, and I'm not by any means saying they're all shot, but some of it is just nuts. But every once in a while, one of these guys will get a microphone in the midst of the fundraising and actually put the gospel in there. You know what? The gospel is the gospel no matter whose mouth it comes out of. And if someone talks about the life of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, you could become a Christian with the most bizarre source. And there are people who literally, because it's just the truth is the truth no matter where it comes from, lives are changed. But Jesus says, okay, do what they're saying, but I'm telling you, don't copy them. And if you are trying to live the Christian life and you are trying to work through the hypocrisy that you've seen around you, then say, okay, God, there has to be somebody left. I mean, if you had been convicted of some crime and had to go to court, you wouldn't say, well, I'm not hiring an attorney to help me because they're all crooks. I mean, maybe a lot of them, but not all of them. You know, there may be a few, but you don't stop hiring lawyers to help you just because some have a bad reputation. You say, there's got to be a good lawyer left somewhere. I'm going to find one. Find someone that you look and you watch and you say, that guy is a genuine Christian. They're real. They're transparent. They're vulnerable. They're accountable. They're talking about their stuff. They're not trying to be perfect. They're admitting their own faults. I'm going to find somebody like that, and I'm going to get as close as I can to that man, that woman, and follow them. And don't not become a Christian or try to live the Christian life just because some of these people got problems. So whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. Just being whatever they are, say, oh, look at me. Look how holy I am. Look how wonderful I am. And everybody knows it's a crock. But okay, well, that's the deal. That's all there is. We'll follow them, and I guess so. The thing that astonished people about Jesus is he came along and he didn't speak. The scripture even says they watched Jesus and said, he speaks as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. There was something different about just the way Jesus spoke. It made sense, and he had a life to back it up. You go on, keep reading this whole passage, go down and look to verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Now, as hard as this is to absorb, I think a lot of these guys Jesus was talking to don't make heaven. They are religious leaders, and they're not going to be there. Now, am I wishing that on somebody? No. Jesus is blasting them because they said all the right things, but they lived nothing. And here is the challenge for us. Sooner or later, you say, well, do I quit saying anything because I'm having such a hard time living it? No. Eventually, if something has really changed in your heart and in your life, fundamentally inside, it's going to manifest itself. You're not going to be perfect overnight. But something is going to change. And if there has never been any change in your life, then there may not have ever been any change in your heart. And you need to stop and say, am I just some religious person that really has never connected with God in any way? Because if you are genuinely a Christian, it may take 50 years. Something is going to change sooner or later. It is not possible to have the God of the universe living inside you and something not change. Now, part of what I'd like to talk to you about today is this challenge that we have of, okay, so I'm a Christian. Let's just assume you're a Christian. And I need to tell you a story about a terrible assumption I made this week. I was walking with a guy from the office, kind of stopped a minute. We went out. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? I just said, you know, it's this place I go a lot. And I said, well, I think we're supposed to go there. So we go down the sidewalk, turn the corner, and there's this 22-year-old guy with a SUV. He's got a charger, a battery charger, a little whatever you call those things that you plug in. His car is hoods up, and I'm kind of thinking, okay, Lord, we're going to lunch, but this isn't, you know, it's kind of random, but it's not. What are we supposed to do? So I said, well, what happened? You need us to come jump your car, get in this conversation. So I go around this guy's car and notice a little fish on the back of his car. And honestly, I thought, okay, Christian kids moving in the neighborhood. We're going to step up the plate and serve him and help him. And, you know, so I said, well, can we push it down here so you can plug it in? Got into this conversation. And then kind of out of nowhere, I kind of had this almost a joke in my head thinking, well, I'm going to try something different. So he's going around to the back of the car and we've pushed him and got him set and we're about to walk off. I said, well, you know, he found out he had just moved into the building, graduated from college. He was a little nervous and, you know, his new kid in the neighborhood. And, you know, he just kind of feel like first grade, everything's just shaky. And so he could pick up on that. And so I said to him this, I said, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to ask somebody, what's up with that little fish looking thing on the back of your car? Now, he didn't have a clue who I am, anything about it, right? I'm just some guy pushing his car. That's how I asked it. What's up with that little fish thing on the back of your car? And this is what he said. I think it's some Jesus thing. He said it was on the car when I bought it and I can't get it off. Now, for some of you who are very judgmental of people in general, you need to stop a minute and think. Just because you're driving down the road and a car passes you and somebody flips you off with a fish on their car, they just may not have been able to get it off yet. See, we want to put everybody in some category and go, well, see, there's a Christian. They wear that a fish on his car. That makes him a Christian. My assumption was just that. Here's a nice Christian kid. He just bought a car with a fish on it and couldn't get it off yet. But if I had assumed because of the symbol that that was his life, I would have missed a complete opportunity to talk to him about something he may have needed to talk to, somebody about. Now, as a word of encouragement to those of you who are Christians, when you become a Christian, you get a fish of sorts put on you, whether you like it or not, and the fish sticks. And the fish is not coming off. Now, I'll tell you something about me personally. I don't have a fish. I got nothing on my car. And part of the reason why I have nothing on my car is I don't always drive right. Okay? Now, if we're going to get real and be real, I honestly don't think my driving is up to par for a fish. And until I think my driving qualifies for a fish, I ain't putting a fish on my car. You say, well, that's hypocritical. No, that's honest. Hypocritical is putting a fish on there and then flipping everybody off and running people off the road and doing all the stuff you're doing. The truth of the matter is, a fish is not going to change my heart or my driving. That has to change from the inside out. Now, where we have the dilemma is, you become a Christian and you are just sure somebody has tattooed a fish on your rear, your forehead somewhere, and everybody can see it but you, and you know they're watching you, and you can't live up to the little symbol that somewhere you've been marked by. So you go to say something to somebody, and because your life doesn't back up what you're about to say, you say nothing. When something needs to be said, somebody needs to hear what's happened to you, you need to share the gospel, you need to keep it real. And you just shut down. The devil shuts more Christians down by just fear of hypocrisy than about anything we've got. I don't want to be one of those people. And so we say nothing. You can't get rid of your fish. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian, period. And I don't care how screwed up you are or how many stupid things we do, it's not going away. Now, let me read you some encouragement in that regard. Look at Philippians chapter 1. New Testament. And we're almost done. I didn't say in closing. If a preacher ever says in closing, it means you're about 20 minutes out. I just said, we're almost done. Philippians 1, verse 3. And I don't really have time to go digging this up, but just don't forget, these are not form letters that get sent out like to the church at Philippi. This isn't Paul going, hey, send that number 23 over there, those people, and that'll encourage them. Send them something. This is a guy who knows the people he's writing to. It is very personal, and look how he writes. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. Now, I'm tempted to call some names out in here because I know a lot of people in this room. And I know a lot of people in this room. Some of them I was there when you became a Christian. And some of you, I've been there since. and I've watched you along the way, and we got a room full of screw-ups is what we got. I can't name one name in here, myself included, who has made this process perfect. No bumps, no errors, no problems. But I can go starting right over here with my buddy Carlos, my friend. I was there when he was born, spiritually. And has he done it perfectly? No. But let me read this to you, Carlos. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what my Bible says. I've known Nevaeh for many, many years, and she shared some stuff, very personal stuff earlier. When I met Nevaeh and Kent, they were way, 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 way out there, and there have been lots of bumps in the road. But my book says that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. And I can say it to Alex and to Greg and to Joy. I can go around this room to Brian. Now I can point out some hypocrites, and all I have to do is just point right here. Because if I told you who I really am and what really goes on in my week and my real struggles, you'd fire me. You'd fire me. But I'm not standing up here claiming to have figured it all out, because the same God who wrote that to them and to you wrote it to me, that he's begun a good work and he will complete it. I got some other verses, but that's probably enough.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I just thank you personally, first of all, so much that you finish what you start. I thank you for just the huge encouragement it is to me that you haven't given up on me, Lord, that you convict me, that you draw me back to yourself, that you haven't quit, and that you finish. And then, Lord, I've mentioned some names, and there are many more in this room and many beyond this room, Lord, that have been such an encouragement to me, and where people think they're just idiots and screw-ups and never going to get it right, Lord, what they don't realize is when they go down but get back up, that gives me hope that it's not over, that even if they think they've quit, Lord, you haven't quit. And you track us down, you come after us, you're patient, you're kind, you're merciful. You'd have wiped us all out, Lord, if it was without mercy. I thank you for the consequence of our sin. I thank you for disciplining us, and that just demonstrates that you love us, Lord. But I pray for those today who have just shut down, given up, said it doesn't work, I'm just talking, I'm not living, that something would happen, Holy Spirit, that you would just renew their faith in what is possible, and that they'd be willing to confess their sin and just say, God, let's try again. I know most people may have already or would give up on me, but I know you won't give up on me, God, so let's take another run at this. And even if it's slow, even if it takes a long time, a whole lifetime, I'm in. And Lord, for people that are listening today, that hypocrisy and everybody else has been their challenge, and maybe something said today would trigger a willingness to give it another shot and say, you know what, God, I'm not going to hell over a few hypocrites. I think there's something to this. It just seems like it is real in some people, and it does work for some people, and I'm sucking air anyway, and all my excuses for why not to do it aren't filling the emptiness in my heart. So I do believe you're real, God. I believe you love me, and I think Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead for me too. And so I'm terrified to make this decision because I might end up what I hate, a hypocrite. But Lord, I'm going to at least try because I see it working in so many. So I reach out the hands of my heart, as it were, and I say, God, thank you for loving me, for dying for me. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I accept the gift of eternal life that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead. And I ask you, God, to just take over my life. Come live in me, through me. Give me a new heart, a new mind, just like being born a second time, just a clean start. And help me realize, Lord, that there's no getting away from you, that nobody can pluck me from your hand, that I'm safe with you. Even if I'm a sorry Christian, I'm safe. But help me live so that others will see you in and through me. Father, thank you for this day. Use us. It could be our last. Help us get things right with you and then get on with living the way you intended, the way that we really want to live, Lord. Because your way is better not just for you, it's better for us too. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.